Welcome to the Buccaneers Observer podcast. This is Ralph Phillips.
And I'm Molly Bay. We are on the eve of free agency. Well, not really free agency. It's the first day when clubs can start talking to players.
That's right. Free agency doesn't start. They can't actually sign until Wednesday at 4 p.m.
Wednesday, correct.
That's right. But tomorrow they can start figuring out. We'll start hearing stuff tomorrow. So that's exciting. Fact check. Last podcast, I had said that McCoy and Dotson came in the league the same year. That is incorrect. Dotson came in 2009 and McCoy came in 2010. Dotson is the longest tenured Buccaneer.
Okay. And he's making $4
million. $4
million. Ooh, that's sad.
Yeah. Follow-up, I had asked, is Donald Penn still in the league? Yes, he is. He was signed to a two-year, $18.7 million contract extension with Oakland. He reduced his 2018 base salary by $3 million and his per-game active bonuses by $750,000, clearing $3.4 million in cap space with Oakland.
That was in 2018?
No, he signed this in 2017.
Okay.
But he reduced his salary last year. And last year, he only started in four games with Oakland before he was placed on injured reserve October 3rd.
Ouch.
He was also placed on injured reserve in December 22nd, 2017.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's getting old. He's getting old, getting hurt.
Oh, that sucks.
Kind of like DeMar. His career earnings have been $59 million so
far.
I know, it's hard to imagine that.
Donovan Smith is making, will have made half of that in
2 years.
2 years. Ugh, hurts my soul.
Yeah. Well, I'll get some more to some Donovan Smith stuff here in a second. Michael Bennett has been sent to the Patriots from the Eagles for a compensatory draft pick. Eagles get a fifth and the Patriots get Bennett and a seventh. So basically,
he just keeps going to these winning teams. Don't you just hate that? He was such a jerk in Tampa.
Yeah, he really did screw us over. A lot of people blame the GM and the coaching staff for that, but it was really Bennett. You know, they gave him the opportunity to test free agency and he said, I'll let you match anybody that gives me an offer. And then he did not. And he said he did not want to play with the Buccaneers.
Also, he left his dog at a border.
That's right.
In Tampa. Like, moved to Seattle. They called him and they're like, are you going to get your dog? And he's like, no,
nope.
I'm good.
Don't want the mountain girl.
Right. How sad is that?
Arizona has released their backup quarterback, Mike Glennon.
I know. I heard about that. Oh, wait. One thing about Michael Bennett. He's going to reunite with Greg Schiano. At the Patriots.
If Greg Schiano becomes the defensive coordinator of the Patriots. It hasn't happened yet.
Maybe they're just signing paperwork.
Maybe, but there's reports out there that Greg Schiano is the defensive coordinator, but it has not happened yet.
Hmm.
Bucks tendered exclusive rights to free agent safety Isaiah Johnson and offensive lineman Mike Lidke.
So that just means they basically get league minimum for that position?
Sure.
I think.
I don't know. That means they're still on the team. That happened Friday. More on the Donovan Smith signing. I want to touch some more on that and get back up on my soapbox.
Is anybody sick of that yet? I don't know.
I just find it so strange. It's just so strange to me.
I'm sorry. Going back to Isaiah Johnson and Lidke, were they exclusive rights free agent?
I don't know, but we tendered exclusive rights to him.
Okay. So that just means it's a procedural transaction and they're a free agent in name only. All a team has to do is offer a 1 year non-guaranteed league minimum salary to keep you.
Okay.
So that's per Greg Allman.
All right. So it was league minimum. Good job,
thanks,
Molly.
Okay. Soapbox.
Soapbox.
Resume.
Donovan Smith signing. It's just very strange to me in how the media has been fine with this signing. They've all said the same talking points and they're all fine with it. To me, it's paying big money to mediocre play again. And this is something that the Buccaneers have a problem with. They always have. We just reward losing. We have a losing culture in Tampa Bay and this is just solidifying it more, if you ask me.
Yeah, because he never played like he was playing for a contract.
And he never played top 10.
No.
But he's getting paid top 10.
Right.
And the problem with this, which I've been saying, is we're going to have to release someone like Humphreys or Kwan or Braid, etc., because of this contract. And Bucks have a long track record of releasing good players that go on to win the Super Bowl. We were just talking about Michael Bennett, but he's not the only one by far. I mean, you're talking about Steve Young, Doug Williams, Aqib Talib, LeGarrette Blount, Adrian Claiborne. He went to the Super Bowl twice, once with the Falcons and won it last year with the Patriots. I mean, we got a long list of this happening. We keep mediocre guys and we release the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's not even to mention the guys who go to the playoffs like Mark Barron, Ted Larson, et cetera, et cetera. Now, ownership has changed. Coaching has changed. The GMs have changed. There's only one constant. And I hate to say it. It's the city and the fan.
Ooh.
Maybe the media. That's the only constant.
So what do you think it is about them?
Don't really know. I think it might be
Or is it the organization? I mean, that's constant.
What organ?
The Bucks organization as an entity.
Don't know, but there's something there. This Donovan Smith signing to me is the epitome of it all, because here we go. We have a left tackle that everybody knows is not that great. He's mediocre at best. And he gets signed to a top 10 contract, and the media goes right along with it, and they trump it up like this was a good move. They've all said this was a good move. And then the fans listen to the media, and they're all like, okay, it's a good move. Next. And this just happens over and over and over and over and over again.
And we have to pay players big money to come here. They're big free agents.
And then they stink it up usually.
Yeah, and they just kind of ride it until they go their next job.
And look at Anthony Collins, the left tackle we paid big money to. Mm-hmm. And he's stinking up.
Darrell Revis.
Ghost Johnson.
Chris Baker.
That's just here recently.
Yeah.
And this has been going on. It's almost like Tampa is the place to come to get you big money and basically retire.
Take a couple of seasons off.
Yeah, because look at Revis. He left us, goes to the Patriots, wins the Super Bowl.
Ugh.
Okay, on to the next subject. I'm going to try to not talk about Donald or Donovan Smith anymore. I know I'm not going to be able to, but anyhow, we're going to lose Humphreys. Joe Buck's put out an article today saying that they talked to their sources at One Buck Place, and those sources have said they are expecting to part ways with Adam Humphreys because Arians wants to get faster at the slot position, and he also wants to get better and faster at punt return, which apparently he's going to put the slot receiver at punt return.
Okay.
Well, Humphreys did do some punt returning
stuff. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It really is. I mean, here we are, back to Donovan Smith. Here we are, we're releasing a guy who scored good touchdowns, caught a lot of balls for us, got us many, many first downs, got us out of some sticky situations.
He was Good chemistry with Winston.
I mean, he was a fighter. And we're getting rid of him to keep Donovan Smith. We don't want to pay Humphreys $10 million, but we'll pay Donovan Smith $13. It's insanity to me. Moving on.
I agree with you. I'm very upset about that. It just doesn't make sense. Why? I guess it happens when you get a new coaching staff coming in and that we're so tight on cap space.
That's the whole thing. It's the hope. You know, we're hoping that Arians and his new coaching staff can get Donovan Smith to play decently.
Okay, you know, I listened to that, the crew night.
Yes.
It was about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Buccaneers put the video up on YouTube. You sent it to me. So I listened to it, and Bruce Arians said something that struck me and kind of concerned me. He said that this is the players' team. This team is only going to be good if the players want it.
Oof.
Yeah. And I'm just not sure if that's possible. I mean,
yeah, we've got a lot of players with a losing mentality on this team.
Right. What JPP was talking about at the end of last season. There's a lot of guys that don't keep it real.
After the Chicago game, JPP and Curry, those guys were devastated and distraught.
Yeah.
And they were saying, hey, there's a lot of guys in this locker room that it doesn't seem to bother them to lose like this. JPP said he had never lost a game like that.
Yeah.
And he was upset.
So that was a little concerning to me when he said that, because here it is the whole time we've been counting on Bruce Arians to turn this culture around, to hold players accountable. But then he's saying, this is their team. We're only going to go as far as they can take us, as much as they want it.
That's interesting. Yeah, Scott Reynolds had wrote in the SR's Fab 5, talked about how Arians uses fear to motivate. He compared Arians to other coaches we've had since Gruden, Raheem Morris, Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith, Dirk Cutter, and said Arians' old school approach to coaching is a welcome change in Tampa Bay and will shake up the country club atmosphere that has occupied one Buccaneer place since Gruden's departure. Now, I find this kind of funny because this is going to be interesting because Schiano had that same approach.
And that's what they've been bringing up about the Schiano hire in New England, is that he coaches like that, and they said he's very intense, and that they're bringing up Michael Bennett's quotes where he said, you know, you don't talk to grown men like that.
Right.
So how is this different?
Yes, right, exactly. How is this going to be different? Because Schiano got run out of town by the media for his supposedly for his old school approach, and they always took the player's side. They always did. With the Greg Schiano thing, they, you know, with Josh Freeman, they 100% took his side. So did the national media. They did not listen to Schiano. They didn't even try to get Schiano's side of the difference. And come to find out that Freeman and his agent were just shoveling them a pile of stinking dog poop.
Yeah, I think that's where they get a lot of their information now. It's from the agent.
Yeah, definitely. So that's going to be interesting to see if that happens with Arians. I mean, when crap starts to hit the fans, media's going to take the player's side, maybe.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. Bruce Arians has a way with the media, though.
Right. Schiano did not at all.
I mean, I hope that Bruce can do it. I think if anybody can, he can.
Yeah, in the same article, they talked about Arians firing people for poor on-field performance.
Good. They should.
Right, but then they had an article right before that that talked about how it was a right move to re-sign Donovan Smith to such a large contract. I just don't understand.
The irony there.
Yeah, they even brought on Stephen Chia for the Eye in the Sky videos to show how Smith was good. It's just mind-numbing to me. It's bewildering.
Well, I hope that he's serious about the accountability thing. I think that'll be a really big, have a big impact.
Well, here's the thing I worry about Bruce Arians. I mean, of course, you know, he wants to leave behind a good legacy, blah, blah, blah. But it's not the same as a new coach coming in who has his whole career ahead of him and he wants to send a message. I mean, Arians might be coming. We don't know. Arians might be coming here just to collect a paycheck and enjoy the sun. He could be coming here and when things get tough, he just goes, ah, screw it. You know, it's not worth it.
I'm going to retire.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to kick back and, you know, just...
Like all the players have.
Right.
Well, for Arians, this is going to be his last shot, I think, in the Super Bowl.
Oh, definitely.
To win a Super Bowl as a head coach. So, and that's he talks about that all the time. So, I'm hoping...
There you go. There's that word. That hope.
Yeah. That'll be enough to keep that drive.
Every offseason is like this. We always win the offseason. We get hope, and then the season starts, and blah. By week 5 or 6, we're talking about the draft and what coaches we're going to fire. Peter Report had Dubs guard Mike Iapati Bucks, quote, best bet in free agency to shore up the offensive line. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. I said that the day Bruce Arians was hired. Just want to throw that out there and get some kudo points.
Good job, Ralph.
Antonio Brown got traded. How about that? We're gonna keep it Bucks related. Steelers to the Raiders he went. He reworked his contract with some hefty incentives.
To get more money.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot more money.
Yeah. Guaranteed.
Yeah. It stuck the Raiders or the Steelers with $21 million cap hit.
The most that's ever happened. Poof. Dead cap money.
I tell you what, though. Here's the thing. I did not want Antonio Brown. I mean, he shows some good stuff on the field, but in the past year or so, he has gone bonkers.
Yeah. Publicly, you know, airing the Steelers' dirty laundry.
Well, his off-the-field issues have been crazy. You know, he went AWOL with the Steelers 3 times last year since training camp.
Just not showing up?
Just not showing up. Hell, in week 17, he skipped all of practice that week. And he didn't even bother to show up for the team's walkthrough.
Oh, my gosh.
Practice day before the game. I know. That's why they didn't have him play week 17. There's no way I would hire him. I think he's going to be an issue. And besides that, he's got a lawsuit going on where he threw a bunch of furniture out of his multi-floored condominium into the pool area and almost hit a guy and his 22-year-old grandson.
Oh, no.
The guy's suing him.
Wow.
This happened April 2018. And also, he was found guilty of reckless driving. He was going more than 100 in a 45 mile an hour.
Whoa.
And according to TMZ, there was a reported domestic dispute involving Antonio Brown this January. It was investigated by police, but there were no arrests. But that could come back. You know how these things happen. The police investigate, and then months later, boom, there's an arrest.
Yeah.
I saw him with LeBron James. He did a little interview with LeBron James sitting in the barbershop on HBO. And he's got his mustache dyed blonde. And he was talking about how the media and the powers that be try to create this narrative and make him look like a bad person and all that. So we'll see. But here's the thing. Me and Molly had talked about this. She had predicted he was going to go to the Raiders. And I said, there's no way. Because John Gruden, and here's the Bucks angle, John Gruden does not like anybody on his team with a bigger name than John Gruden. John Gruden, just like when he was at the Buccaneers, this was the John Gruden Buccaneer.
Right. And didn't he go at it with Keyshawn Johnson?
Oh, yes. Him and Keyshawn went. He ended up benching Keyshawn for like the midway through the season. Because apparently Keyshawn, according to Warren Sapp's book, Sapp Attack, Keyshawn Johnson had went into his office and just went off on John Gruden, talking about how he hated him. He couldn't stand playing for him. And of course, Keyshawn has said this on TV, that he just hated John Gruden. And he said he messed with him psychologically. But Keyshawn was a diva. Not really a diva. I mean, he was a tough dude, but he had problems with everybody on the team. And yeah, so John Gruden benched him midway through the season and then cut him at the end of the year.
Funny you don't get players coming out like that anymore.
No, like, not at all. You don't get Warren Sapps anymore.
No.
Mm-mm. No, those days are done.
It's funny, though, Antonio Brown talking about the media and their narrative, and that's what we always
preach.
And
we're sitting here talking about it. Maybe I'm like Antonio Brown.
I don't know. Maybe he's getting a bad rap. I don't know.
But I'm here to tell you that the whole John Gruden and Antonio Brown thing is not going to end well.
It's a powder keg.
Yes. Well, I mean, Antonio Brown apparently had a falling out with Roethlisberger, and then he got mad at Mike Tomlin because he took Roethlisberger's side and blah, blah, blah. And that crap, John Gruden ain't going to, it's just going to be a clash of egos there. I don't know how much influence Mike Mayock had in this trade or how much it was John Gruden or whatever, but it's going to be a mess.
When there were rumors that he was getting traded, or maybe he publicly asked for a trade.
Yes.
He came out and tweeted, Antonio Brown did, that he's got nothing but respect for Ben Roethlisberger and, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things. To me, it's another lapse in media. How do they not know what happened?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge deal.
Especially the Steelers.
Right. It just seems weird to me that you wouldn't be able to find that information out. And we'll never never know unless one of the players writes a book 10 years from now.
Wow, it kind of seems like Antonio Brown might at some point.
And why would you get rid of Amari Cooper, who I think is a better route runner than Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown's just really good after the catch. You know, he catches that ball and he's gone.
Yeah.
He fights.
He's a fighter.
Yeah, he is.
I think John Gruden wants the attention and the drama.
Don't know. Well, the Raiders have 3 number one picks in this upcoming draft. They got the 4th pick, they pick right before us.
Wow.
They got the 4th pick, the 24th pick, and the 27th pick. And then they have the 35th pick, which is the 2nd pick in the 2nd round.
Wow.
And they only traded a 3rd and a 5th for Antonio Brown.
Right.
So they made out.
They cleaned it up in the draft. But doesn't John Gruden like
He's horrible
veteran?
In the draft. Absolutely horrible in the draft.
So maybe they'll get one good player out of this.
Yes. Him getting rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper was one of the most head-scratching things I've seen a coach do, besides Lovie Smith coming here and getting rid of our whole offensive line.
I knew that was coming.
That is something that is just, when it happened, I was just dazed. And again, another media lapse. It was like, to me, the media should have been 100% all over top of that. You just can't do it. You can't do it. I don't care if you don't like the offensive line or you think they suck. You can't get rid of everybody on the offensive line and then expect your offensive line to be good the next year. It's just not going to happen. Speaking of media, apparently Joe Buck's fan and Rick Stroud and Tom Jones don't like each other.
Okay, who is Tom Jones?
Tom Jones is like the media coordinator for the Tampa Bay Times or something like that. So he works the same
Didn't
place.
Did he leave? I thought he left.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Bassinger.
Tom Bassinger.
Tom Bassinger. Yeah, Tom Jones is somebody. I know that Justin Paolinski can't stand Tom Jones.
All these little tiffs with the media.
Yeah. But Tom Jones and Steve Isbitz, he's one of the Joe Bucks. They apparently don't like each other a whole lot. They've gone back and forth over some things. But I found it interesting to see that Joe Bucks is not a big fan of Rick Stroud either. They had a tweet today. Joe Buck found out he was blocked by, maybe it was Ben Roethlisberger on Twitter. And he was like, wow, I've never even visited his feed before. And I was blocked. The guy must think he's one of the local media guys. And he was referencing Rick Stroud, who has blocked him on Twitter.
So Rick Stroud blocked Joe Buck fan.
Yes.
Apparently.
If I'm not right about that, I'll have a correction. Okay. The next podcast.
How do you even find that out? Google.
It's called journalism. Yeah, Google. Bruce Arians has hired Larry Ross, a retired NFL official, to, quote, be our liaison with New York and the officials. He said he will also be in his ear for instant replay during game. Arians said that they needed to hire a retired NFL official because the rules change every week, and so do the interpretations of those rules.
That's so true.
Yeah, smart move, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I tell you what, the Glazers are kicking out a crap ton of money because how many coaches do they have?
Oh, wow. He has
close to 30.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I remember back when Raheem Morris was coach, everybody was complaining about how the Glazers were scared to spend money. Well, and not true anymore. It hasn't been true for a long time. They've been paying coaches a lot of top dollar money.
And between coaches and players, too. They spend a lot on the players.
Yeah. Crazy. You got any news?
No.
All right. Molly's got the Know Your Enemy for the New Orleans Saints today.
Right? Cutting it down to the wire. This is like the last day that I could do this. It's free agency. Starts tomorrow. So
this is the last one in the series.
This is the last one in the series. You know, free agency edition. Then I got to do the draft edition.
Right, right.
So really, I got to start all over again when I got 6 weeks for that or something. So I can confirm that the New Orleans Saints are still butthurt about the NFC Championship. That's like when I looked up, so I Google New Orleans Saints coaching changes, and all that comes up is coaching staff rule changes. That's all that's being brought up.
No, it could make me happier. Maybe the Atlanta Falcons losing the Super Bowl. That made me happy.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And the Panthers losing the Super Bowl. That made me happy.
Hey, we've had some good things in the last, 5 years?
Yeah.
If we can't win, at least they're losing, too.
That's right. Misery Bastards. Loves company.
So, this is really weird, but the Saints are changing up their special teams staff, coaching staff. And their special teams was, top 5.
Yeah, all right. I remember.
Last year. Yeah, so it's just very weird. They fired their special teams coordinator, Bradford Banta. And then they had an assistant special teams coordinator, Kevin O'Dea. His contract expired and they're not bringing him back. And then they had the special teams consultant, Mike Westhoff, who they brought out of retirement in 2017 to be a consultant for the team. And his contract expired now and they're not bringing him back again. So, and then they had another assistant on special teams, Deuce Schwartz, left for Cleveland.
Wow, so their whole special teams unit just blew up, huh?
Weird. It was so weird. And so they hired Darren Rizzi, who was at the Dolphins since 2010, as the special teams coordinator, and Paul call Galliano is the assistant special teams coordinator.
Phil Galliano.
Phil. What did I say?
Paul.
Paul. Sound like you now.
Rich Richardson.
So, of course, there's all kinds of speculation about who they're going to go after in free agency and the draft. There's some people saying their wide receiver core is going to get a revamping, which they mentioned Adam Humphries, which would absolutely just infuriate me.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so typical of us.
Yeah.
For somebody in our division to get Adam Humphries and then he just beats the mess out of us all.
Could you imagine Drew Brees with Adam Humphries?
Oh, man. I don't even think about it. Yeah, it's like the perfect match for him.
Stuff that nightmares are made of.
Now, they don't have a whole lot of cap space. They're kind of like us, right?
Yeah, exactly. They've got about $9 million today in cap space.
Yeah. Probably going to give that to Drew Brees.
He makes $33.5 million this year.
That is insane.
Yeah. Because his base salary is like $10.5 million. I was like, oh, look, that's like really reasonable for a quarterback. And then I look over and there's the signing bonus, the roster bonus, all that.
Wow.
Yeah.
$33 million.
So he makes up like 17% of their cap.
If they fielded nothing but Drew Brees is on the football team, they could only put six people on the field.
Yes.
Maybe even five. Wow, man.
Yeah. And they have no first rounder in the 2019 draft. They traded it last year.
Oh, they went all out last year, yeah, didn't they?
They got, I think, a defensive end in the draft. And now people are saying they might get another edge rusher. They should go after an edge rusher.
It's a year for it.
So they've got 20 players.
Ooh, that's not a whole lot.
I know. It's the least in our division.
20 players up for free agency.
Yes, for free agency. Sorry.
I cut you off before you were able to finish it.
No, correction. They've got 19. Spot Rack had Josh Huff, a wide receiver, on their list of free agents. He was waived in like August of 2018, and he plays in the AAF now. So I don't know why he's listed there. So really, they have 19 players in free agency. 9 on the offense, 9 on the defense, and 1 on special teams. Dez Bryant is up. He was on a 1-year deal, and remember, they got him. He tore his Achilles immediately and spent the rest of the year on IR. So
yeah, I think he might be done.
I don't know what they're going to do with him. Thomas, what's his first name?
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas. I want to say Marvin. I don't know why. Michael Thomas, this is a contract year for him, 2019.
So okay.
They're going to have to pay him at the end of next year.
Hmm.
And then they've got Tommy Lee Lewis, who's a third string, some of their depth.
Okay.
He's up for free agency. And then they've got two tight ends, Benjamin Watson, who's their number one, and Michael Humanawanu.
Very good.
Well, yeah, I practiced that one when I was like, I would not even know how to say that. He's a third string. Offensive line, they've got two, Jermaine Bushrod, who's a backup, and Josh Laribus.
He's a backup too.
Yes, he's a backup too. Backup center. And then running backs, Mark Ingram, up for free agency.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Whether they bring him back. Jaquiz Rogers could be a good sub for him, you know, if he doesn't come back. I think he'll come back.
I don't see how they have the money to pay Mark Ingram.
Well, how'd they have the money to pay him in years past? I mean,
he's going to want more money, I'm sure.
You think so?
Yeah, he could go somewhere else and get more money.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
Maybe. Let's see what he's making. So he's making in 2018, he made $3.6 million.
Interesting.
So he averages about $4 million a year.
I would think there'd be another team out there willing to pay him more than that.
Probably. Yeah, that's a pretty good bargain for a running back of his caliber. Although he's older. He's 29.
Yeah.
And he's made the most money at New Orleans. You know, I was thinking of Darren Sproles. I was like, wasn't he at Philadelphia?
Oh.
Wrong one.
Yeah. Yeah,
very Ingram's, similar Ingram's size.
Ingram's been in New Orleans since he came in the league.
The whole time. Yeah. Okay.
Well, then he might not want to leave.
Yeah. And their third string, Daniel Lasco, running back. He's up for free agency, too.
Never heard of him.
Not that they even need that much depth, I don't think. Maybe one extra.
Not with Kamara.
I know. Between Kamara and Mark Ingram, they're pretty set. And then Teddy Bridgewater, he's up for free agency. Now, they've got Taysom Hill.
I like that guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't when he's in our division.
Right. I don't like him because he's an enemy, but I wouldn't mind having him on our team.
He's interesting. He's really versatile.
Old
he's
school.
On special team. Yeah, he does a little bit of everything.
And I was watching, I think it was a preseason or, you know, because he came in and he played quarterback a few snaps every game. But I didn't know anything about him. And then I'm watching the game and I go, wow, Drew Brees is running a little bit faster than normal. The guy looks and throws and acts. I mean, he looks just like Drew Brees in uniform. They're about the same size and everything. He's a little bit bulkier, I think. But the way he throws and his quarterbacking acumen is just like Drew Brees. So he's Drew Brees plus. And that's scary.
That is scary.
So they'll probably get rid of Teddy Bridgewater, I would imagine.
Yeah. You don't really need him. Yeah. And they paid him $6 million last year.
Yeah,
so
they're going to dump him.
He just...
Yeah.
So that wraps it up for the offense. The defense also has 9. They've got 2 linebackers, me and Tanteo.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
He's been there for a couple years, I think.
Yeah, I probably
knew. Yeah. And Craig Robertson, he's their second string weak side linebacker. Then they're losing 4 in their secondary, so they already let Kurt Coleman go, free safety. He's gone. And then they've got 2 cornerbacks, P.J. Williams, who's third string, Ken Crawley, who's second string, and then strong safety, Ricky Jefferson, who's second string. So some depth at corner in their secondary, which, you know, they may re-sign them for a league minimum or just above. And it won't really be a big deal. And then their defensive line, they've got 2 starters, Tyler Davison, defensive tackle, and Alex Okafor, defensive end. They're both up for free agency, and defensive tackle Jay Bromley, who's third string. And last but not least, their special teams, their kicker, Will Lutz. He's up for free agency. He's solid.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty easy kicking in a dome, right?
Right.
So, and he gets a lot of points in fantasy because they score a lot of points. They score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, you could probably put just about anybody in there as kicker and they're going to score a lot of fantasy points with the Saints.
Yeah.
So they don't really have anybody
big
crucial,
that they're losing,
except Mark Ingram.
Right.
That's the only one that, you know, Benjamin Watson, maybe, but you know, they're not real tight end heavy.
And I think that Drew Brees can make any tight end look good.
Yes. Remember, we went to Jimmy Graham. Yes.
Well, he's made of glass. That's his problem.
Right.
But he went to Seattle and was just kind of meh.
Yeah, for a couple years. Then he came back last year and did pretty good.
Well, I think now he's with Green Bay.
That's what I meant.
I think we better fact check that one.
I'll save it for next.
Okay.
Yeah, he was with Seattle for 3 years and then with Green Bay last year. He got $13 million last year.
Whoa.
How crazy is that?
I would not pay him that much.
$11 million signing bonus. Yeesh.
Well, that's why he left Seattle. They paid him $8 million, $9 million, and $10 million. Because the Green Bay gets 3 extra million. I would have changed jobs too.
Yes, I would have too. No loyalty is going to match that. $56 million he's made in his career. Wow. Not bad for 9 seasons.
Not bad. All right, you got anything else for us?
No, I do not.
There very little change with New Orleans, which that's kind of what you expect when they go to the NFC Championship. You get a winning team, almost makes it to the Super Bowl. Why are you going to change any of that?
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that they don't have more...
More turnover.
Free agents up. Man, I was hoping they would really implode.
Well, they still could, you know, that coming off a lose like that, a loss.
Okay, so we got some interesting stuff has happened. Antonio Brown is going to butt heads with John Gruden for a while. Now, I can't remember what else we talked about.
Michael Bennett and Greg Schiano.
Michael Bennett and Greg Schiano. That'll be interesting. If Greg Schiano does sign with the Patriots.
We'll probably have another podcast Monday after free agency is kind of started, or maybe Tuesday.
Might wait till Tuesday. We'll see.
We should be having some cuts here soon.
Yeah, we're going to have, man. It's going to be depressing.
If we cut people, I don't know.
You know we're going to.
We may just not re-sign those
people.
Right,
like Kwan.
Yeah.
Humphreys. Don't know about Brait. Just we're going to be losing some good guys, and that's going to suck.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Allman keeps talking about that we're just not really in a position to make a big splash in free agency. This might be a really boring week for us.
Yeah, you know, I talked about the Honey Badger coming here when Bruce Arians got, but the more I think about it, we just don't have the money for it. Because we gave it to Donna Smith.
Well, we'll find out by the end of the week, won't we?
Probably. The Texans are going to, I think they're going to fight to keep him. And somebody else is in the running for it. I can't remember who it was.
The Ravens.
The Ravens. That's right. The Ravens want him. So it's going to be a bidding war. And I just don't think we're going to have the money for it. Lupati, we might be able to get him. That's not going to be much of a big splash, though. It's just really plugging a hole at right guard. I really wish we could have gotten Foster. But hey, it is what it is. We're the Buccaneers. We got a lot of hope during the offseason. Here's hoping that Arians can make Donovan Smith play up to his contract.
Well, and you never really want to win free agency.
We do every offseason.
Well, yeah, exactly. It means nothing. Kind of like the draft, winning the draft.
Right. All right, that's going to do it for us. If you want to get in touch with us, you can contact Molly. Her email address is mollybay@buccaneersobserver.com. If you want to get in touch with me, you can contact me at ralph@buccaneersobserver.com. Our Twitter handle is @bucks_observer. You can go to our website, buccaneersobserver.com, check out what we got there. And until then,
go Bucks!